19 and 1. He, that is Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Once again, we're coming into a season when the stories, the messages, the scripture is all very familiar. Some of us were blessed to grow up in the church and hear these stories, hear these truths over and over again. Father, it is our desire that we not lose the importance in the familiar, but that we be reminded again of your great love for us, the sacrifice that was made for us, and the triumph afterwards, because Jesus is exactly who he says he is, your Son, God himself, our Savior, God in human form, a man, your Son, our Savior, the risen one, and because he lives, we too will live. And in this familiar story this morning, may we see again your great love. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On his way to Jerusalem for the last time, Jesus passed through Jericho. And as with everything Jesus did, it was with a purpose. He had an appointment with a man named Zacchaeus. And one of the most interesting truths that comes out of this passage, this story, is that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Who was Zacchaeus? Well, he was a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector, Luke tells us, and he was rich. Now, we know a little bit about tax collectors in Jesus' day. He called one of them, Matthew, as a disciple. tax collectors were usually indigenous. That is, whenever possible, Rome would choose local people. Take some of the sting out of it, they hoped. They would hire local people to collect taxes. And Rome had determined what tax would be. And of course, without any recourse, no appeal, this is your tax. And to help encourage the tax collectors, Rome basically gave them the authority to charge whatever they wished. Just make sure that the emperor gets his. Now, were there honest tax collectors? Probably. But more often than not, the character was such that this is an opportunity to make money. And Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. In other words, he had folks working for him. They too were charged. Make sure you collect this much at least, because this is what the emperor gets. But anything more, that's yours. Or minus what you send on to me. And Luke makes it a point to say, not only is Zacchaeus a chief tax collector, but he's also very rich. But what I find so interesting about this is that Luke also says, and he wanted to see Jesus. Now, could this have just been pure interest, intrigue? What's the story about this rabbi from Nazareth? Could be. But the way this story plays out, what I see is a man who, despite all that he has, realizes it's not enough. Every once in a while, it only happens two or three times in the Gospels, but every once in a while, we hear of someone like that rich young ruler. Remember him? Had a lot of this world's possessions, position. He even told Jesus, and Jesus didn't question him. He said, I know the law and I've kept it. But just like with Zacchaeus, that rich young ruler knew that what he had wasn't enough. What he had wasn't doing it. What he had didn't help him sleep at night. What he had didn't assure him of salvation. And Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, wants to find out, does this rabbi from Nazareth, who people are saying a lot of things about that may or may not be true, he's thinking, does Jesus of Nazareth, does he know something that I need to know? Does he know what I'm missing? What I don't have that will allow me to sleep at night, that will allow me to be assured of my salvation. So this chief tax collector, who's rich, wants to see Jesus. Now, just as the chorus that Carly sang, that all of us who grew up in church sang at some point, Zacchaeus is a man of small stature. And it must have been significant in the minds of those who talked to Luke. Luke was not an eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus. Luke was He was a physician, but he was also the researcher's researcher. He was the guy who knew how to take notes. He knew who to talk to. And he was a very very careful chronicler of information that he could gather about Jesus and about what happened around Jesus and what people were learning, what they were hearing, what they were seeing. And apparently it was significant that Zacchaeus was a small man. How small? Don't know. But in a day and at a time and in a place where tall people were rare, a small person would have also been, must have been pretty small to stand out, to be identified in that way. Oh yeah, Zacchaeus, chief tax collector, very rich and also very short. You know, it must have been significant. Crowds have gathered. They've heard that Jesus is coming. He's not the only one who wants to at least see him. And this story about him running ahead and climbing up into a sycamore tree so he could see him, because Jesus was just going to pass through. Was he hoping to be able to get a question in? Was he hoping to stop him or be close enough that if Jesus stopped and spoke, he'd hear it? Don't know. Because not only did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus, Jesus had planned to see Zacchaeus. I love this. Because it pictures so very well how there are times in our stories of how we've come to where we are, where we are the ones seeking. We're the ones looking for God, looking for answers, looking for a Savior. And then at the same time, we find out He was looking for us. He was planning to find us. He was planning to save us. So while Zacchaeus is scurrying, climbing a sycamore tree, hoping to at least see Jesus, Jesus is making his way through Jericho, knowing he's going to spend some very valuable time with this man named Zacchaeus. In fact, verse 5 says, Jesus said to him, "Today I must stay at your house." Imagine the picture. Jesus is just walking through, his disciples and others who were with him, walking through Jericho. There are crowds around seeing him come through. And Jesus stops at this sycamore tree. And I'm so glad Carly sang that this morning, because I was like this close to tempted to singing it for you. So you too be glad, okay? Carly sang. Because there's this part in that song, and there were some motions. For Rick, I couldn't see Carly, but in that song, there's some motions that go along with it, you know, where Jesus stops and he says, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." And I think of grandma or mom or whoever point, and usually the kids enjoy doing that part, you know. But did Jesus do that? Probably not. But here is Jesus, that rabbi from Nazareth, that Zacchaeus is wondering, does he have anything for me? Does he know something I don't know that will provide for me what I don't have? And he stops and he looks right up into that sycamore tree and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down, man. I'm going to your house today." Because we need to talk. And we have together here a man who knows he needs something, who knows he doesn't have it all, knows he doesn't know it all, and is searching, he's seeking, he's wondering. And then we have this young man looking up into a sycamore tree saying, "Let's go home and talk." Emmanuel, God with us, has something to say to you today. And that's exactly what happens. And what do the religious elite do? Luke doesn't identify them as the Pharisees. If they're not Pharisees, they are followers of the Pharisees. Because they say something very Pharisaic. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Now let me tell you something you know, something they didn't know, as smart as they were. Had Jesus gone anywhere, he would have gone with someone who was a sinner. What they had missed, what these religious elite had missed, was that we are all sinners. All in need of salvation. All in need of a Savior. But it was very easy for them to look at this little guy who was hand over fist rich at their expense and somehow Jesus is giving him an audience. Jesus wants to spend time with him. We would never spend time with people like that. Once again, Jesus taught a very important lesson. God doesn't expect us to clean up first. He knows we need him to get cleaned up. He knows that he's the one responsible for making the changes in our lives. He doesn't say, "Change your life and then come." He says, "Come and I'll change you. I want to have an impact on you. I don't want to see how well you can do first or if you can measure up first. Come as you are and allow me to start the process of making you into the man, the woman, the young person that you need to be." That's exactly what Jesus is saying to these, to Zacchaeus, and that's exactly what these Pharisees had missed. Because what's about to take place over the next 2 weeks would be absolutely unnecessary if any of us could be good enough. If any of us could earn our way to heaven, the cross would have been absolutely unnecessary. But because none of us can, it was. Jesus did. Now something happens. The details, Luke doesn't share, perhaps because he doesn't know. This may very well have been one of those times when Jesus said, this is something that has to be just between me and Zacchaeus. Maybe no one heard the conversations, the questions, the dialogue, like we had in John 3 with Jesus and Nicodemus. But somewhere in the process, something very important happens. And all we see first is the result. Zacchaeus says in verse 8, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." Now, I am never going to be accused of being a math wizard or a financial genius. But my hunch is this is a bunch of money. And will not leave him with a lot left over. Half of what I have, half of it goes to some, to unnamed people, the poor. And if there have been those whom I've defrauded, I'm a chief tax collector. There's no if to it. If and when we can identify those that I have defrauded, I will repay them four times. Wow. That prompts in my mind this question: what produced such a response? What happened that he would do that? And thankfully, Jesus answers my question and puts all of this into proper perspective. He says in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. And if that's where the story ended and we knew nothing more, you and I would be out of luck. What does Jesus mean? Zacchaeus finally realized he was a Jew and all Jews are saved. Somehow Jesus helped him trace his lineage back to Abraham, and like the Pharisees, Zacchaeus could finally claim, because Abraham is our father, we are righteous. No. When Jesus says that he, Zacchaeus, too, is a son of Abraham, he means this. He is a man of faith. In Genesis 15, and then Paul picks it up in Romans 4, Old Testament, New Testament, we find out that Abraham was saved by faith, not by works. Abraham was saved by faith. And just as Abraham, saved by faith, demonstrated his righteousness, that right choice, Zacchaeus too, saved by faith, demonstrated his righteousness, that right choice. So he is a man of faith, and a faith then that works. Not works that save, no, but a faith that works. And James will make that point in his letter, where he'll make it very clear. Saving faith, that which truly saves us, will work, will demonstrate itself. Faith doesn't simply exist to ensure our salvation. Faith will result in evidence. Don't get that backwards. Again, we're not going to earn our salvation. We're not going to work hard enough to get it. But having it, being saved, being children of God, being someone who is gradually being transformed into the image of Christ, you should be able to see that. There should be evidence of that. Perfect? Nope, not here and now. But evidence of movement in that direction. So when Jesus says, Zacchaeus has become a son of Abraham, he's become a man of faith. A faith that works. And so this little guy, who was a chief tax collector, who was rich, all of this sin that I've been trying to take care of in a variety of ways and not succeeding at all of a sudden this is gone. Because I recognize that God loves me. That Jesus is Savior. That Jesus is Lord. That He's the promised Messiah. He's the promised Redeemer. By faith in Him, I can know forgiveness. Now I don't need that big bank account. In fact, now I realize God gave me that big bank account so I could bless others. And if I'm going to bless others, I also need to own up to all that fraud and answer for that as well. Because now I'm a child of God. Now I'm not an agent of Rome. I'm a child of God. And the children of God act differently. and that's who I want to be. Jesus said in verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I don't know if Zacchaeus knew he was lost, but he knew he hadn't been found yet. Okay? I don't know if he was looking for a Savior, but he was looking for an answer. And when Jesus declared himself as the Savior of the world, Zacchaeus believed. Zacchaeus was among that group that knew he was lost. That knew he needed something else. That knew his life wasn't complete. He didn't know for sure what he needed until he found Jesus. Or until Jesus found him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. A man, Zacchaeus. A nation, Israel. 3.5 years earlier, Jesus had proclaimed himself to Israel as her Christ, her Messiah. Over 3.5 years, proving that he is exactly who he says he is. And at the end of 3.5 years, Israel said no and crucified him. But 3 days later, he rose again to prove that, well, you can't stop what God has started. A Savior sent to a nation now has fulfilled the other part of God's plan, a Savior for a world. Did God love Zacchaeus? Absolutely. And saved him. Does God love Israel? Absolutely. And he's got a plan for Israel that will include her salvation. But he also has a plan for a world. Jesus' death paid the penalty for our sins, and not our sins only. John would say, but for the whole world. So the penalty has been paid. Will all be saved? No. Will all accept that? No. Most will reject that simple offer. But it doesn't mean it's not true, because it is. Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. And that's not for nothing. And Zacchaeus came out a changed man, because he had met Jesus. Not just Jesus, the rabbi from Nazareth, but Jesus, the Son of God, his Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. Thank you for this story. Thank you for all those Sunday school teachers and children's church workers and vacation Bible school teachers who taught us this song, who taught us this story, and used it as one more indication of how much you love us. That you'd even care for this tax collector in Jericho. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.